We're already 3 months into 2024, and I felt like I needed a little bit more change, so new chair, new me. Not so much of the Darth Vader look going on behind me anymore, but in this episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, I wanted to talk about moving to Portugal in 2024. Is it worth it? Is it still worthwhile to move to Portugal in this day and age? With the NHR basically gone and the golden visas pretty much phased out or seemingly going in that direction, what is left for expats in Portugal? Oh my goodness, is there anything else other than financial incentives to come to this country? And I personally would say there are many more things to come to Portugal for other than the financial incentives. And those programs were definitely not why I came to Portugal. But let's get down to the nitty gritty. Portugal, 2024. Still worth it? I'm Rafael Di Furia. This is another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Roll that intro. So, of course, the first thing when it comes to moving to a new country is making sure that you have your realities set straight. No matter where you're going to move to, if you're going to move to a city, if you're going to move to the countryside, if you're going to move to the south, to the north, to this, to the that, you're going to have a different experience in each one of them. And this is one of the things that I see many who are fresh off the boat or have maybe just had their first experience living abroad. And this is their first time and they've never traveled even abroad before. And they're not aware that different places within the same country might have different experiences. I know of even many individuals who move to one part of Europe and expect it to be like all of the rest of Europe. Even within Europe, there's no one singular flavor. Yes, there are things that tie themselves together and bring each other closer. But at the end of the day, each country is so different from one another. And even though each country is different from one another, even regions and places, cities are different from one another. Even I live in Braga, Portugal. And to go 40 minutes or an hour away to Porto, Portugal, yes, there are things that tie these people together, little cultural nuances that tie them together, but there are differences. For example, something very silly and very small, but in Portugal, people from the north have a reputation of using a lot of foul language, swear words we'll call them. And even within the north, I have spoken to people from Porto and they say about the people from Braga, wow, no, those people swear. We swear. Those people really know what they're doing. It's actually really funny. Like, once you start learning Portuguese a bit, I actually enjoy, like, walking through the street and you hear, ba, 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 ba. I'm not going to say all of the words here, but maybe we should do a future episode, how to swear in Portuguese. The first thing that you should learn in any language. But that's a different day, different episode, different idea. But even thinking about things on a more simplified level, let's talk about Braga, the city that I've spent the past couple years in. Over the past couple of years, I've seen individuals come and go. Some of the individuals who've come and left very quickly were maybe amongst those that I would say didn't have the most realistic idea about Portugal and what life is like here. Some of them definitely had a decent idea, but things maybe didn't go to plan. But I would say those were maybe in the minority of individuals who decided to move here. But even then, there are many people who do come to Braga and see and get a realistic idea and fall in love with Portugal for what it is, falling in love with Braga for what Braga has to offer. But then you also find individuals who really like Braga, but maybe don't want to live in the city itself. Braga, in my opinion, is a city that's not too big, not too small. It's just big enough as it currently is. And it has, in some ways, the feeling of being in a small town, but some of the advantages and conveniences of being in a big city. So there is an interesting balance that I personally quite enjoy. I'm not saying it's right for everybody. And even really to get to that point more specifically, like I said before, I know people who really like Braga, but don't necessarily see it as the place for them. Some people really want to stay in Braga and really want to make it work and really want it to be their home. But then there are other people that say that they want the access, but maybe they want to get a little bit further out. And so even now, some of the reasons that actually lead towards this have to do with even the cost of living. This is something I would say in Portugal in general, even in the past couple of years that I've lived here, a little bit more than a couple of years. The cost of living has definitely increased. There is no doubt about this. There is zero question. So this, of course, is something that you have to take into consideration because Portugal online is sold as the cheap destination, this wonderful location that is in the sun 300 days of the year and is dirt cheap. And even if there's 300 days of sun, like I've mentioned before, I don't understand how they count these 300 days of sun. Maybe there's a sunspot for 5 minutes and then the rest of the day could be rainy. Well, especially in the north in the winter time. But even in the south, where it's supposed to be quite sunny, I've seen horrible rain showers and even borderline flooding there. But what I'm wanting to get at is even amongst the people who are living here, who enjoy it here, even during their time here, their tastes and their ideas of what they want shift. And so that's something that you have to take into consideration. This is something that I've seen as maybe the individuals who are thinking that Braga is maybe way too small and there's not enough going on here, tend to maybe be between the ages of 20 and 40, but single. And what I've also seen is that some of the individuals who are more ready to stay in the area, but maybe thinking about moving out, would be between 30 or late 20s and say 70s. But this isn't everybody, of course. There are many people who are even a bit older who would prefer to stay closer to the center of the city. This is a generalization of some of the people that I've met over the couple of years that I've been here. And this is foreigners and local Portuguese alike. And the cost of living here is gone up so much that many people can no longer afford to stay here. And they're looking at going to other places, or they're moving further away from the center, or they're even moving further out of not in the center than they already were. Because Braga in some ways is one of those cities that for many people who were looking at living in Lisbon, they couldn't think about the prices there and it was a bit too expensive for them. Then they started looking at Porto, but then they saw the prices in Porto were still a bit too expensive. Then they started looking at Braga. Now Braga is starting to get expensive, and so people are starting to look at other places in the country. I mean, even people who are thinking that they want to be close to Braga and want to have access to the city are now looking at other places in the surrounding areas. I mean, for example, a place not exactly in the center of the town, maybe 3 bedrooms or so, that was going for 900. Now you could maybe get a full house just outside of the city for that same price with a garage and so on. But even to find the 3 or 4 bedrooms for that price now is becoming more and more difficult. I often see even for 12, 13, 1400 euros. And in Portugal, this, in my opinion, is absolutely absurd. The prices should not be this high. I've even seen places that are smaller going for 2,000 euros. To me, that is absolutely ludicrous. The price should not be this high in this country. Portugal is a wonderful place. Do not get me wrong. However, what I'm talking about is the cost of living doesn't match the wages that are earned here. I live here. I do earn a Portuguese wage. So for me, I will say I definitely feel it. I'm living on local terms. And so how much these costs have gone up have made me think about how sustainable and how realistic it is. It is definitely something that I would like to be in the city of Braga, not necessarily in the center of Braga, but I want to be in this greater area that you have access to from anywhere across the city within what, 10 minutes in an Uber? Like, you can cross the city really easily, especially when there's no traffic. But you have to think about things also, not just from the day-to-day basis. And okay, so say you're moving to Lisbon, like, okay, you're going to have those expenses and the cost of your apartment's going to be more, your cost of food's going to be more, cost of everything's going to be more there. But also you have to think about taxation and visas and all those sorts of things. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, with NHR basically gone, the kind of biggest incentive for many to come to the country, as well as the golden visas, which were maybe for a smaller number of people. There are many people who are less excited about moving to Portugal today. Personally, I would say if the whole reason why you want to move to a country is because of a financial incentive, then it might not be the best choice for you. If that's the only reason, because I've seen people doing that, and I can say that I've seen this plenty since moving to Portugal of individuals and couples moving to the country because, oh, it's going to be the best taxes here. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to take advantage and make the life the best that it can be because of the finances. And then they see maybe, wait, things function differently than they do outside of the U.S.? What do you mean that I can't get my Amazon Prime package the same day? That's not quite the life here. Granted, can you have next day delivery for many things? Yes, this is definitely doable. But instead of ordering from Amazon, you'll have to replace that with a number of local websites and have to search for those as time goes on. And then sometimes maybe you'll order for one website and they say they have it in stock, but they can't deliver it for 2 weeks. I've had that happen. I needed to order a ladder like not long after I moved here and that happened. They said, oh, we have it in stock. And even I saw it in stock in the store. I was going to purchase it in the store, but I didn't want to bring it home with me. I wanted to just get it shipped to me. They're like, no, we have to get it from the storage and the this and the that and the other, and we have to bring it from another part of the country. I was like, but you have one in the store here. I spoke to the customer service. They're like, nope, we can't help you. And then I've had other experiences where I've ordered something from Lisbon and it was there here in my apartment the next day. So this is something that you have to think about, that maybe there are going to be certain conveniences in that regard, that you're not going to have your Amazon deliveries every hour on the hour, but you will get other things in your life. And enjoying the outdoor spaces and going walking through the town or walking through villages close by or walking in the country roads. Take me home to a place I belong. West Braga, country mama. Take me home, country road. But poor song references aside, there are still things within the country that I know many people do enjoy, especially in the north, for example. If you are an outdoorsy person, going to Jerez, G-E-R-E-S, the national park here in Portugal, is something that I know many people really, really love doing, going hiking there. There's some places where you can go swimming. But if you want to have a nice beach day, then you can go to like really anywhere within, say, about, I don't know, an hour and a half. I mean, even to Porto, you can get close to the ocean right there. The ocean in Portugal is never all that far away. Even when you're really far inland, it's never more than a few hours at most, probably. And so if you want to go have fresh fish on a beach, in a hut, then you can do that. If you want to have a nice roast meal in the center of the country, then you can do that too. If you want heavy, heavy food, the north of Portugal is right for you. If you want to have fun in the sun and maybe a little bit more fish in your diet, the south could be the place that could be a little bit more for you. Regardless of where you are in the country, though, the wine is flowing and it's all delicious. And even though I wouldn't say Portugal is cheap, the wine might be, but it's not cheap quality. It's, I would say, really, really underrated. And I don't even really like wine, but a lot of the wines here are really good. For some people looking to really slow their pace of life down, Portugal has a lot to offer in that regard. But for people who are looking for a bit more action and to stay active and to have a bit more excitement in their life, depending on what kind of excitement you're looking for, it might not be the most ideal, at least if you're not in the big cities of Lisbon and Porto. If you are maybe looking for like nightlife, then Lisbon could be fun, Porto could be fun. But if you're looking for maybe more action sports, like for example, surfing, then Portugal definitely is an interesting country to be in, if that is your thing. I mean, from what I hear, it's supposed to be some of the best surfing in the world. It's actually, for me, something I would definitely love to try because, I mean, I've lived in some of the best places for snowboarding ever, but I've never gone snowboarding. So now that I'm living in one of the best places for surfing, I may as well learn how to surf at some point in the future. Who knows? Maybe that even could be a future episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. But another day, another day. Let's think about these things. Not rush into them. Not get too hasty. Not get ahead of ourselves. But if you're looking for city living, then maybe looking at other places in Europe. For example, Paris. Again, very expensive. Or you could look at a place like Madrid, a city that has a more reasonable cost of living. It's still not cheap and maybe on par with even a city like Braga or Porto. Like, really, there are parts of Madrid that are actually quite reasonable. Even some of the expensive places are borderline reasonable sometimes, but you can still have very, very, very high rents there. Or maybe the excitement that you're looking for is the bar and clubbing scene, and maybe a place like Berlin, and you're looking for something a little bit more avant-garde, that could be a little bit more for you. But if you are able to experience Portugal for what it is and appreciate for what it is and live on local terms, and when I say live on local terms, I do mean both your spending and your earning, whatever you're earning, I think it comes down to a little bit of responsible spending and to live a lifestyle that allows you to live like someone in the country. This is something where I think you really start enjoying the country and really see what it has to offer. That's my opinion. I know it's not for everybody, but I think that's something to be said for just enjoying someplace for what it is, not what you're wanting it to be, not what you're trying to make it to be. Because there are many people who are looking for the Parisian experience, but they end up in the middle of Nowheresville in, I don't know, Romania. And they're like, well, ah, gee willikers, how come it's not like Paris here? Where's that gosh darn Eiffel Tower? Well, I mean, if you're moving to the middle of nowhere in Romaniaville, you might not have that same experience. So, of course, having a pilot trip to come out and visit and see if it is the right place for you, is worth it. This is why I also recommend not just doing like a few days in a place, but do like a week, a month, a few months. After a few months, you really get a feel for what a place is like and to have a sense, and it, not just to have the week vacation, because when you're in vacation mode, you're in a vacation bubble. And so you're not living the same life day to day. When you're living your daily realities and you've been in a place for a couple of weeks, even if you're still in an Airbnb or whatever, you get an idea of if a place really could be for you on a little bit of a longer term basis. And this is why even for me, for example, the idea of being a digital nomad and skipping and hopping from place to place isn't my idea of really enjoying the world. Enjoying the world to me is spending time in a place, getting to know it well, getting to know the people, getting to know the culture, and to become ingrained in it, even if you're not deeply ingrained, but to have some sort of actual connection that you can walk away with. That is something that you can't pay for. Okay, you can kind of pay for certain aspects of it, and you kind of do have to pay for certain aspects, like your rent, but you get what I mean. There are certain experiences that you can only have by just being in that place in the moment. So, is Portugal still worth it in 2024? That's not for me to answer. That's for you to answer. That's for you to figure out and decide on your own. I am not here with all of the answers. I know we're deep into this episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, but there's never been one episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter where I've been here to give all of the answers, because for each individual person, the answer that's right for them will not be the right answer that's right for somebody else. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, and especially a thank you to those of you who helped to make these episodes possible on a monthly basis through rafaeldeforia.com/Patreon or patreon.com/rafaeldeforia, as well as the one-time thanks through the super thanks button here on YouTube, as well as through the support, rafaeldeforia.com/support. Again, I'm Rafael Di Furia. This has been another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Stay safe and healthy out there. And I will see you all next time. Later.